Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 4, which says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And we left off last time starting a discussion about how the scriptures indicate some things related to this word honor, and how it's talking about the issue of some of the good works that are part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And we, you know, have talked about how, you know, those of us who are part of the body of Christ, who are saved individuals today, that have put their trust in the gospel message and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You put your trust in that and that alone, you are a saved individual today. And how Paul identifies for us the fact that as part of who we are, we should be doing these good works. And we see how Paul says, and let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And you see how Paul describes this here. And we have the passage that, you know, so many individuals, you know, look at here, and where it talks about things related to, you know, how we are saved in verses 8 and 9, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And, you know, that is a true statement, and looking at how, as you know, our salvation has nothing to do with the things that we do. It has everything to do with what he did on the cross. But then you see how Paul in verse number 10 talks about the things of what should result from this fact when he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And that word "should" is a different thing than what we see from Israel's program, where everything that talked about their performance was a requirement, that they had to do these things, and if they didn't do the good works, that there was going to be the result of the fact that they would have a loss of their salvation coming about because they failed to do those good works. We know that we cannot have to, you know, we don't have to worry about that fact because we have the guarantee of our salvation. We have the fact that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have that guarantee with it, and that's why it becomes a should. You know, if we do the right things according to the doctrine that's laid out, and that's how you see that Paul lays out doctrine and then, you know, lets the doctrine take root in the individual to where it can have that impact and the person can then be doing these good works. That's the goal of taking the doctrine in, is that it would create the change in the life of the individual so that way they would be doing these things. That's why you see how Paul in his epistles lays it out from the fact of here's the doctrine, and then we'll start talking about some of the practical things after he has laid out doctrinal information. We see how Paul prays for the members of the body of Christ. If we turn over to Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to see how Paul describes the prayer that he's offering up for these individuals here. when he says we're going to start at verse number 9 of Colossians chapter number 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we see how this prayer starts with the aspect of praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's praying that they would have an understanding of what the word of God is actually saying to them. And we know what God's will is, that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So if he's praying for these individuals who he identifies as being saints and faithful brethren in verse number 2, then we know he's not praying for salvation for them. He's praying for the fact of, if he's talking about the will of God, he's talking about praying that they would have, you know, come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so by the fact that he's praying for this, praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so he's praying that these saints would come unto that knowledge, with the result of what we see in verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. So he's praying that they would take in this word, come unto this knowledge, so that way they could have that worthy walk, that they would be doing the things that are laid out exactly as the doctrine says for us to do. That's why you see how in the book of Romans, where Paul says, and let's go over to Romans chapter number 14 here, and you see how Paul is going to describe something related to this. And we're going to read the very last verse of the chapter, which is verse number 23 of Romans 14. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now we know what produces faith is the word of God. So we see how Paul is saying whatsoever is not of faith, whatsoever is not according to the word of God, he says is sin. Now that sin, that's not the same sin that was taken care of at the cross. The things that were taken care of at the cross is the sin that would separate an individual from God for all of eternity. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to be that sacrifice to take care of sins, that way we could receive his righteousness. It's impossible for somebody to commit that sin, because that sin was defined as the transgression of the law. And since the law was nailed to the cross, taken out of the way, and we were not under the law, then we cannot commit that sin. However, we can do that sin which is contrary to the word of God, the things that whatsoever is not of faith. And those are the things that result in a person building the wood, hay, and stubble that would appear there at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, doing the things contrary to the word. And that's where you see how Paul prays that they would have this understanding, so that way they could do the things that the word of God lays out. And, you know, that's, you know, we left off last time with that passage in Titus chapter number 2, which talked about how the grace of God teaches the things. The grace of God teaches a person, you know, how, you know, what the things that they shouldn't do, and the grace of God teaches also here are things that you should do. You know, always having that understanding of how a believer has that choice that they can make to say, okay, either I'm going to do these things or I'm not going to do these things, and knowing what the result of that is going to be. We know the responsibility of what we, the things of how we should be functioning, and the impact that that does have on other individuals. If we go to Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to see how Paul's going to describe something here in Philippians chapter number 2, showing the impact of what we do and how it has an impact on the others who are watching us here in verse number 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then in verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That the issue of us functioning as that light unto the crooked and perverse nation deals with the fact that we're holding forth the word of life, that we're following the things which are laid out in the word of God. And as we're following those, it's having an impact of where the good works are resulting from it. Because that's when individuals find out that somebody's identifying as a Christian, that's one of the first things that they're looking at. They don't look at what they're teaching. They always look at how somebody is living their life and really kind of looking for, okay, let me find out where they're messing up in their life, so that way I can point that out and show how they're no better than me. You know, that's the thought process of the natural man. The world system is trying to focus on, here's all the things that you're doing wrong. We're to be functioning as that light, showing how the word of God actually has an impact. So if we're actually are a light, it means that we have to be different than what we see in the world system. Somebody has to be able to look at us and see there's something different about you, and I want to know what that is, so that way I can have that be part of my life. That's how we function as that light in the world. We see how Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 gives us the idea of how that works when he says, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. So he lays out and tells us that he followed Christ, and we know how he followed Christ because he tells us the things of, let's go over to Romans chapter number 15. Because you see how there's a distinction that Paul draws here in Romans chapter number 15 between what had preceded him and what he's doing here. In verse 8 of Romans chapter 15, Paul says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of this circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So the idea being that here we are and we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry was going to the nation of Israel. He makes it very clear when he says, you know, salvation is of the Jews, when he tells the apostles to go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He doesn't tell them to go to the Gentiles. He tells them to stay away from the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and give them the salvation which had been promised in the word of God for them. Now Paul says, let's skip down here to verse number 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So Paul, showing how he was a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, bringing this message to us, individuals who had been outside of what God was doing, now are receiving the word of God, receiving the information, being brought nigh to where we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. You know, something that the book of Ephesians shows how in time past we didn't have that, now we do. So we have that ability, we can have a relationship, we have the information about how to function as a member of the body of Christ, something that, you know, individuals really do struggle with, because, you know, so many people just want to focus on doctrine, 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 and not focus on the fact that Paul also tells us that there are certain things that we are going to need to do related to functioning properly. You know, so that way we can be that effective minister of the Word of God and not being influenced by the God of this world, not being influenced by Satan, who controls all of the things of this world, which is, you know, and the things of this world are where so many people want to be focusing on things. And the unfortunate thing is when you focus on those things, it keeps you away from the Word of God, keeps you away from how you're supposed to be living, and it starts to have an impact on all areas of life. And that's why you see how Paul's even bringing this up related to the ideas of fornication and the thing of honor, which we've been looking at over the last few verses here, of that if a person is doing those things, then they're living the life that is honoring to God, doing the things of, you know, that God would want a believer to actually be doing. And, you know, when you talk about the ideas of, you know, honor in relationship to fornication, it's keeping the idea of that sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. Anything else outside of that is that idea of fornication and not honoring the body as Paul has been laying out here. Now, Paul describes, we're here in the book of Romans, let's just turn back a couple chapters here to chapter number 12, to where you see how Paul's going to describe, you know, really what it is that we need to be doing here with it. And we're going to read the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12, when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the words we keep seeing this idea of the will of God being brought up, showing that all of these things that are being talked about is what God intends for the individual to be doing. That God intends for us, it says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we know from reading in the Old Testament and seeing the idea of the sacrifices, the things that were to temporarily cover sin or to bring that worship unto God, how the sacrifices were, they brought an animal to be killed. There was no idea of a living sacrifice happening. But here we have Paul using, you know, a term and saying that you present your body a living sacrifice. So we're presenting ourselves in a manner where, okay, we are going to be doing the things that are going to be honoring God, and we do that by the fact that of what we see in verse 2. And we see the end of verse 1 calls it that this is our reasonable service. That this is what we're intended to do, called a service unto God. And Paul draws that contrast of starting with be not conformed to this world. You know, again, think of the things of this world which are completely contrary to what God would actually have going on. And how instead of being conformed to this world, there's a transformation that is supposed to be happening. That we are to be having a renewing of the mind occurring, so that way we can be, you know, living the life that God intends. And the only way that the mind gets renewed is by taking in the Word of God rightly divided, studying, understanding the doctrine that's been given to us. And when we understand that doctrine, it's going to have a impact to where we can see that change, and we can be living that life to where by the time that Paul's closing out his epistles, let's go over to the book of Philemon here, and we're going to see how Paul's going to, you know, Paul the aged here in the book of Philemon is going to say something about this life here in verse number 6 of the book of Philemon, when he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That there's a thing of us having that communication of our faith. That communication is, you know, the words coming out of our mouth, but also the things of an individual seeing how we're living our life, and that this comes about by us acknowledging every good thing which is in us in Christ Jesus. You know, because it's, you know, in all these things, it is never us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us. That's what we see Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. You know, gives us that information of talking about how I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That the whole issue becomes that I'm allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live in me and through me, and then I can be pleasing unto God. Now, next week we're going to start verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some audio files of previous Sunday messages. We have information about how to join either our Sunday service or our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, live on Facebook. You know, this Wednesday, I'll be continuing the study of the book of 1 Peter. You know, so you can, you know, go to my Facebook page and watch. You know, you can either watch live or you can watch it at some point in the future, you know, as it's being saved there on Facebook. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.